The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus went up to the Mount of Olives, but early in the morning he arrived again in the temple area, and all the people started to come to him. And he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery and made her stand in the middle. They said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of committing adultery. Now, in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. So what do you say?" They said this to test him so that they could have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and began to write on the ground with his finger. And when they continued asking him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let the one among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he bent down and wrote on the ground. In response, they went away one by one, beginning with the elders. So he was left alone with the woman before him. Then Jesus straightened up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She replied, "No one, sir." Then Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, do not sin anymore." The Gospel of the Lord Jesus. Often, when this selection from John's Gospel is used, the great question that people ponder is, what was Jesus writing on the ground? Was he doodling? Was he writing the sins of all those who were gathered in the crowd? Or was he just making idle scratchings? And so that tends to be where the discussion is. Great mystery. What was he writing? Well, I'm not sure that that's actually what John was trying to communicate. It seems to me that John was picking up something far more important. If you remember last week, we heard the story of the prodigal son. But really, it's the story of the compassionate father who reaches out to the son who has wasted his life, but invites him to come and find himself again within the wholeness of the family. And he also does the same for the other son who is angry and stays outside. So the parable that Jesus uses then is a way of painting a picture of the Father. How the Father is continually reaching out. Now John does something very different in one sense, but yet the same. For John is also telling us the picture of the Father. But he's telling it not through a parable. He's telling it through the actions of Jesus. And he's saying, see how Jesus acts with compassion toward this woman. See how he, in a sense, offers her a new opportunity. He's the concrete expression of the Father. He mirrors the face of the Father. He mirrors the ways of the Father. And again, John's gospel is very, very clear. It's about the story of the incarnation. It starts in the prologue. And the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And the Word was with God from the very beginning. And all was created through the Word. John's point is that Jesus, in his human form, is the physical face of God in our midst. And so what he's saying is that just as you heard in that very beautiful story of the compassionate Father that Jesus tells, you're now seeing in Jesus the face of God as he acts in relation to this woman. The law was very clear. She was caught in adultery. The law clearly stated, the Mosaic law clearly stated, she should be stoned. But Jesus is saying that's not the way of the Father. The way of the Father is to forgive. The way of the Father is to reconcile. The way of the Father is what you heard in that first reading from Ezekiel. How God is ever making it new. And certainly on this fifth week of Lent, as we come almost to the conclusion of Lent, in the next few days leading up to Palm Sunday, the message that the scripture wants to get across to us is that Lent, hopefully, has been for you a time of preparation, a time to take hold of the new beginning that God is offering you in the mystery of Easter, a new beginning that has given you the strength through Lent to basically shed your old ways, to accept the new moment, to rid yourself of sin. Not that you can rid yourself of sin. We have to be very honest about it. The only one who can rid you of sin is God. But you have to have the humility of acknowledging that you are not yet in the fullness of Jesus' life. That like every one of us human beings, you are growing in the life of Christ. And what gives you the strength to grow in the life of Christ is what Jesus does in the gospel today. He doesn't condemn. He invites you to move on, to become new. In a sense, to grow in him without restriction, without condition, without holding back. He invites you to start your life over in the most concrete of ways by literally becoming what you heard in that beautiful reading, the selection from Hebrews, by becoming part of Jesus, by becoming the extension of Jesus, by literally living what you celebrate every time you come to this altar. For what you celebrate when you come to this altar is your life in Christ. And what the scripture is saying is live that life. Live that life so that through you, others may come to know the goodness of God. That others might, through you, feel the power of healing that this woman felt, that gave her the chance to get up and to go forward in a new experience of living. There's probably another part of the story that can be even more closely related to our world today. And that's the interesting thing, that it's the men who bring the woman to Jesus. She's at fault. After all, she didn't commit adultery by herself. You know, let's be honest about it. She didn't commit adultery by herself. There were others. But so culturally inappropriate was the world at that time, and unfortunately the world today, that she was the victim. She was the one blamed, even though she probably was the victim. She was the one blamed. And what you see here again about the newness, it's not just the newness of her life. It's the newness of the life that Jesus is projecting. The newness of the culture, the newness of the understanding, when he says, I won't condemn her. I won't condemn her because she's not alone in her action. What I want to do is show her respect, show her understanding, and show her forgiveness. And I want to show them that there's another way of thinking. There's another way of acting. See? The way of thinking and the way of acting is the way of God, which is rooted in the worth, the dignity, and the value of every human life, whether it be male or female. And that was Jesus' point. It's new. The invitation to us is to reflect that newness in how we live, in how we act, and in how we speak. Hopefully, Lent, in remaining days, still offers that opportunity for growth. An opportunity to literally transform. Transform, by the grace of God, our lives to be more at one with Jesus.